Hey guys, welcome to CryptoLife 365. This is going to be day 46 already, second day of CryptoLina. I went on stage, did my thing, seems to, well, people say it was good, so I'm going to put an audio here after this introduction, and there's also going to be a video link to YouTube. The presentation did have a lot of imagery and pictures up on the screen, so it might be better if you actually watch it, but if you want to listen to it while you're driving or something, that's fine too. Anyway, this was about how everybody wants your money and why you should not give it to them. Enjoy.
It was too difficult to write and pronounce.
These darn Americans, you know, they're terrible.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome.
Do you have a mic?
Right there.
Welcome to the future. We are now in an exciting world of cryptocurrencies where the old world and the old rules of economics and finance no longer apply. In our world, business is completely different and anyone can create any amount of wealth at the push of a button. Ladies and gentlemen, this time it will be different, right? These are the exact same beliefs that everybody had back in the crash of dot-com bubble in 2000. Everybody thought that things would be completely different, this whole new technology would change everything. But thing is, economics and business, they're not driven by technology, they're not numbers, they're not code, they're not text, they're us. They're how we make decisions, they're what we like, what we pursue, they're our goals. So those things don't really change. They haven't changed for thousands of years. Some people have thought that they could try to change them. Some people even tried to change them by force. But we know that ends up really, really horribly. So guys, don't be fooled. The tools might change, but the rules do not. Cryptocurrencies are a new, really dazzling technology, but they're really, really complicated, and mainly because they have three completely distinct, separate fields that are part of them. They are information technology, economics, and business. And economics and business, people might think are a little similar, but they are quite still distinct. And most people have an understanding of one. Some people might understand two, but it's kind of rare where somebody has an understanding, an education, or a background in all three. And because of that, it's very easy to create these lofty, big things that confuse people into thinking that what they're getting is great when it might actually not be. Throughout Bitcoin's history, we've actually had quite a few of such fads. The first one was altcoins. In the beginning, Bitcoin didn't really do anything at all. It wasn't worth anything. It was just a token that a bunch of computer nerds traded as a hobby. But then suddenly Bitcoin started to gain value and grow, and it reached like $5, which was crazy. And I mean, it might sound like a joke right now, but compared to today's prices. But if you think back, Bitcoin started out with nothing, and then it kind of went around 70 cents or so for a while, and then it suddenly started to grow. If you bought it when it was worth even a dollar, and now it's $5, that's a 500% return. It's crazy. So everybody wanted to get in on that, and people started making altcoins to try to get in on the Fed. There are people who didn't understand monetary policy, there are people who didn't understand economics, there are people who didn't understand business. In general, there were so many of these coins that eventually somebody just made a joke coin saying, like, let's make fun of all these people who are buying these things that I don't understand. Here's a joke coin, and people invested in it too. So that kind of thing. And, I mean, you can understand why they would do that. I mean, look at the prices, $100. That's $100 freaking dollars. People believe that, you know, Bitcoin is way too expensive. At $100, yeah, it's, you know, you missed your chance. There's no way it's going to grow that much again. So the only option you have is create a new coin that'll start from scratch. And then if you invest with that coin, then obviously it'll go up in value just like every other coin did, because that's what coins do apparently for some reason. Fear of missing out. that's what was really driving all of this, is that people believe that they missed a chance on Bitcoin. It's never going to grow again. So if they go into a different coin, then it'll obviously grow and they'll make their money that way. But the thing is, coins are not really different from any other kind of investment or any kind of market, and you really should be evaluating them in the same way. Most important one is USP, unique selling proposition. If you're looking at a coin that somebody's trying to pitch you because everybody wants your money and wants to take your money, first you have to ask, can this USP be copied and emulated? For example, some coins might advertise that they have anonymity. Ask, can other coins implement this later and, down the line, or can this be emulated pretty close? Even if it does have a USP that cannot be copied, ask, is there an actual market for it? For example, some coins, they claim that they're exactly like Bitcoin, but they have settlement times that are 4 times faster than Bitcoin. But does anybody really care? And the last one is it sufficiently good enough of a difference? Like, for example, a lot of coins, they promote that they can be much faster for merchants, much more convenient, because the settlement times take only minutes or seconds. But do we really care with that small increment versus most people just being okay with having to wait a day until they get their money? The other thing you got to ask is, does the coin have economic sense? Are there actual adoptions, economic adoptions, to not only start using it but to hold it? For example, a lot of coins have the idea that we need inflation still for whatever reason. And you've got to ask, would people want to hold a coin that's losing them value versus hold a coin that actually continues to gain them value? Or is there central planning involved? And this could be like there's a pre-mine where people hold a lot of coins that they spend later on something else, or some coins actually have like a tax built in, kind of part of inflation, part of the mining, excuse me, where the money ends up going to a team that's supposed to either promote it or develop it. The problem with these centralized teams is bureaucracies don't really work too well. At the end of the day, everybody's favorite radio station, WIIFM, what's in it for me? There might be a coin that's pushing lofty ideals. It might even be a donation to charities or changing the world. But even though you might care about this, you really have to ask, well, everybody else? And finally, does this idea technologically actually solve the problem? There's a lot of problems I've noticed where people are trying to link physical to digital in ways that just does not work. For example, there might be an idea where if you generate electricity using solar, you can get this coin as a reward. So the idea is you incentivize solar electricity generation. The problem is somebody comes by to your house, they check to make sure you have solar, that's great, then leave, and then you just hook your thing up to the local power grid and you're making money the old-fashioned way. So, like, how do you prove that? Or there are tokens that track ownership of physical items. But you don't, I mean, you can send the coin to somebody without actually sending the physical item, or you can, that coin does not prevent you from giving that physical item to somebody else. Actually, recently somebody posted on the blockchain, just it was like a couple of days ago, that there was a permanent public recordation of art, and they recorded themselves as being the artist for the Mona Lisa, which is like, so that failed. And then, finally, is what they're trying to solve actually a problem to begin with? There's a lot of coins that are trying to push, for example, the proof-of-stake ones. They're pushing the idea that mining is wasteful, energy wasteful, so they're trying to solve a problem this way. But you've got to ask if mining and burning electricity the way it does is an actual problem, and from an economics point, it's actually not. If we look at Bitcoin as the first example and evaluate it, its USP is legislative arbitrage. That means that if there's legislation, it doesn't care. It's apolitical, it doesn't care about your country, it doesn't care about what political party is involved. It's borderless, just like the internet, and it gives you control of your own money, which until then, nothing else had that altogether. It's also deflationary, meaning that its value grows as more people adopt it, so it has a built-in incentive where if you have it, you have an incentive to go tell other people to use it, because the more people use it, the more value you have. So it kind of propagates itself on its own. And finally, it's decentralized. Excuse me. There's no central point of failure. There's no bureaucracies. There are no companies running it. But then we had our next fad, which was blockchains. Excuse me. Everybody knew that it's not about Bitcoin, it's about the blockchains. If you say that, you know, forget Bitcoins, blockchains, that's a thing, everybody would nod in agreement. You'd be the smartest guy in the room, even though nobody knew what the hell anybody was talking about. I mean, right? And we had a lot of blockchains that came out. And actually, this article just came out this February, so this is still going up. So we had a lot of blockchains come out, and a lot of them were innovative ideas. Some were pretty terrible. But what, again, they all forgot is that blockchains and Bitcoin, it's not just technology. There's economics and business incentives in it, too. In fact, you can't really have a blockchain without the coin to incentivize the actual use. For example, in Bitcoin, Bitcoin set value, so when miners mine Bitcoins, they actually get paid by that value. And then miners, when they mine Bitcoins, they create utility, which gives Bitcoin its value. So there's kind of a cycle going on where you need both in order for the system to grow. If you don't have that, if you just have a blockchain, what you really have is just multiple copies of a giant Excel spreadsheet. There's actually a Google Chrome plugin that will go through and change every instance of blockchain to that sentence. And it makes a lot of articles make a lot more sense. So why do you actually need a blockchain? If somebody comes up and says, like, hey, look at our blockchain, there's really only one reason. So ask, do you need to store data? If yes, do you need shared access to this data? And if yes, does this access need to be public where somebody you don't trust might be able to go in there and change it? If you said yes to all of those three, then maybe you need a blockchain. Seems most recently the main reason people have been using for blockchain is raising money. I mean, there's even been companies who came up with an idea and product and it said doing nothing, and then they said blockchain and suddenly they started raising money. Terrible idea, terrible reason for it. Why would you not need a blockchain? Well, if you're a trusted third party. So for example, you might be issuing a blockchain that runs with your company, and this blockchain will run a bunch of tokens to work for your company. But if your company goes under, what's really the purpose of your blockchain? Like, you might even be issuing securities on a blockchain, but if your company goes under, what's the value of your security? So if that's the case, you might as well just run your own database, because you're really the central point of failure in that case. Another thing might be efficiency. Blockchains are very inefficient on purpose, because that's how you keep things decentralized and keep people from being from screwing each other. So if you need something efficient, like for example a Bitcoin exchange, or where you need to sell fast, blockchains might not be a good idea. Really, at this point, this is the only flowchart you need. Do you need a blockchain?
No problem.
Bit of an allergy thing. I also have a drinking problem. So this brings us to our most recent fad, ICOs. And these things have been dazzling the crypto world like crazy recently. Unfortunately, the ICOs have to deal with all the problems of the above. So you have to evaluate them in the same way that you evaluate tokens, and you have to evaluate them in the same way you evaluate blockchains. So all the problems and all the issues I mentioned, they are involved in ICOs. But on top of that, you also have to ask, are they utility tokens or securities? But really, at the end, all these fancy dazzling ICOs, they're just still the same old boring business. And like any business, it only has one function. It has to take your money, has to use it to create a product, has to sell the product to the market, make a profit, and give you your money back. Last one's really important, by the way. So if somebody's pitching an ICO, really ask, like, how are they going to make the money? And are you actually going to get any money back? Do they have a product? Or, well, if your hope is that you're going to buy this token that they sell and then magically it's going to go up in value for whatever reason, you might as well just buy altcoins. There's no really difference between the two. ICOs do have some threats. So the way I evaluate a lot of, well, the way I and VCs, number one rule we follow when we evaluate any kind of investment is that you really should invest in the people and the team doing it, not the idea. And the reason is because you might have a really terrible idea, but if you have a really good team, the idea can be fixed. On the other hand, if you have a really good idea, but with a terrible team behind it, terrible people are great at ruining good ideas. The other one is lack of developers, and this is actually a big one. A lot of ICOs raise money with the idea that they will use that money to hire developers, but then when they go out to the market, they realize that not only is it really hard to hire developers in general, blockchain-based or cryptography developers almost don't exist. So a lot of these people raise money, and now they're just sitting and have no idea what to do with. So if somebody's pitching you an ICO, do ask them about, like, do you have an actual development team? And then the final threat is regulatory agencies. I'm not a fan of them, but they are a possible threat. And the last panel actually just covered this. The Howey test, I'm not a lawyer, but this is pretty much a good rule to figure out whether what they're selling is a security. So are you giving money to somebody else? Like, common enterprise, meaning that anybody else can invest in them. It's not a private loan, it's just open to investment. Have they implied any possible profit, and is that profit coming solely from them actually doing the work? If yes to all three, then SEC might be interested. And there, you have to be really careful, because a lot of people are pushing what are called utility tokens now, but they're still kind of sort of saying that, oh yeah, buy this utility token, and even though it works like a gift card, there's a good chance it'll go up in value. If they do that, they just broke rule number two, and they might still be a security. So what do I actually do myself? The first thing is, greed is good, but don't be too greedy, because the thing that really surprises me, like Bitcoin in the last year went up 147%. That's a ridiculous return on any kind of investment. People on Wall Street are usually used to like 12, 16. You're doing really great if you do 20%. Here we got 147. And yet people are sitting around going, oh, that's not enough. So let me trade some on the market. Let me invest in these ICOs. Maybe I'll make some more, which is like ridiculous. Don't do that. Watch your greed. Second one, and this is also a rule that I follow, invest only in what you understand. People do shotgun investing with altcoins and ICOs. I would guess 90 out of 100 times are going to fail doing that. If somebody's trying to pitch you an ICO, figure out what the hell it actually is before you put money into it. Last one that I do personally is I leverage. So for me, what I do is there's a company that came out recently in this space called Enchain Capital. What they let me do is let me borrow money using my Bitcoin as collateral. So what I do is I borrow money, then I invest in real estate. My real estate actually makes me more interest than what I get from the loans. And then that way my Bitcoin can keep going up in value while I still make money on the side through real estate, which is secured by the real estate itself. And worst case scenario, if Bitcoin price crashes, I might lose my collateral, but the real estate will actually be worth more than what Bitcoin would have been worth at the time. So zero risk leverage, but I'm actually making money out of it. And the biggest one, hardest one, but one that will probably make you most money is build your own business, because not only does building your own business make you the most return out of any kind of returns, I mean, we're talking, you can make 400% return doing your business. It also contributes to the economy as a whole. So as you're building a business to support Bitcoin, you are not only making a return from your own money, you're also making a return from Bitcoin value increasing as a whole, and you're also helping everybody else in the space too. So anyway, that's my presentation. Everybody wants your money. I admit I'll want your money too, so if you want to talk to me, I'll be happy to take it. But please be very careful with giving your money to everybody else. Thank you.